this computer problems. It's been so interesting. It seems it's weird, right? Like, talk about assumptions and manifestations. I have this habit of over completing things, especially when it comes to open-ended projects, like, I don't know, coding, for example, right? Like, I've been building this app. Let's see how it looks right now. But the problem is like, when it's time to be done, I'll always perfectionistically add more, or think, or, you know, think to myself, like, I could have done this better or that better. So I wonder, my computer crashed twice at finishing points. And as I went to continue, the first time my computer crashed and then wouldn't turn back on. And then the second time I finished the second little modification, and then my computer, after it was completely finished, crashed again. And I talked about that in a video, but it is interesting because that is definitely how assumptions work. That's how patterns work, right? It's not something that I would have thought that perhaps, I don't know, I have a problem with that per se. But if you ask me now, at the exact points that my computer literally shut down and refused to turn on, that, like, what was going on at that exact time? And it would be at exact minutes after I came to a point where I finished something. So what's interesting about that is I recently had imagined or created an assumption that I finish everything that I do. And so therefore, what ended up happening when my computer crashed is I could know, like, that computer that crashed, when I say crashed, that means like busted, I have to get it repaired and stuff. That's like my master supercomputer that I'm always on and always building stuff. And it was a really big investment. But what that meant was I had to use my MacBook instead, which is older and it has less like superpowers, you know? So what that means is I can't really edit the same way. But when I went to bring it to the repair shop, they were like, okay, we'll call you when we have these new chips in that we can come and we can test and figure out what the problem is. It's been like 2 weeks. They've never called. It's weird because it's Apple. It just usually immediately, or yeah, it's the Apple store right next to me. But ever since that computer's been shut down, I have finished and am in the process of like publishing stuff. And it's really just because I don't have that computer. I realize that computer is a distraction for me because I perpetually, continuously can add more and more and more. Whereas on this computer, it has a small hard drive and it's just not as good. So it's not, my point is it appears to be as if it's a combination of my assumptions and what I've imagined has forced me off of that computer. And let's see, I wonder if you guys can even use it. Yeah, guys, so I built an, it's only available for website right now. And it's only really going to work for you guys. But I'll post the link when we're done. It's kind of the unofficial launch. But you guys, since you guys are in the highest tier, essentially what it is you can meet each other. It's going to be a double for making friends and then a dating app as well. So it's a friendship option, but you can also upload and add. It's all for manifesting, right? So you can talk, you can chat with each other, you can post your manifestations, people can explore other people's manifestations and stuff like that. But anyway, that's the moral of the story. Is it's interesting how assumptions, I always try to tell people, and it was what my last video was on, was, you know, assumptions aren't always things that we know. They will just happen. Like, they're patterns that unfold. It's not necessarily something that we'll say, oh, I have this thought that repeats over and over. That's how I'm detecting my assumptions. Not necessarily, right? It could just be the computer crashing multiple times and then witnessing what happens after. So I thought that was a interesting example of really in your face assumption, but you can also look at the bridge of incidents and how that caused me to finish the app at the same time, really the website. So if anyone's wondering about beliefs and assumptions and how do you detect it, it's sometimes it's not as clear, but other times you'll have something drastic happen repeatedly out of nowhere. And if you can watch that happen again and again, then you can devise, figure out what that pattern is, and then you can change it. So, but my computer's still broken, which is a crying shame. And but on the positive note, that means I've essentially finished this app. So hopefully you guys will sign up and just sign up and mess around with it and let me know how it goes. But that's really my news for the week, for the 2 weeks, I suppose, 3 weeks maybe, since I haven't really had access to a computer. But yeah, I want to know also, I mean, I was thinking about doing today a little bit differently and lay back in a sense and just letting you guys in a smaller group, you know, just chatting, you know, talking about topics, manifesting and stuff. But yeah, that's it, you know. So what's up with everyone else? Anyone have anything interesting happen lately? Any revelations that have unfolded? Any manifestations that they've seen? Any beliefs that have appeared? Any things go completely reverse and backwards? Just let me know. Go ahead.
I've been recommended the Paul McKenna hypnosis. I heard that you like that as well, and I think he's like really awesome. Like, I've been having a lot of help with that stuff lately.
Oh my god, dude, he is the first
great voice.
Yeah, and he's like got it down to a science. Like, my first experience with manifesting came from McKenna, and it was before I knew what manifesting was, but I had listened to his hypnosis, and then things started miraculously changing in accordance with my mind. It was really interesting. It's almost like he flipped a switch on unknowingly in my mind, and then I had no idea. And then the next day I was thinking things and it would happen. And it was shocking to me. And then I realized, like, the only thing I had done differently is listen to that hypnosis. This was back when I was in college in, like, God, I don't know, 2009 or 10 or something like that. So he's really good. In fact, I've also revisited that same hypnosis. It's How to Change Your Life in 7 Days is the name of it. And
same, dude.
When I was in a rehab once, I had snuck in my eye touch and I had played that hypnosis, and I was promoted in the rehab to a position. We each had little jobs where I could use the computer. There's only one person that could do that. And then by the next day I had found this job. It was a career job. So in other words, I went from being like this rehab, you know, dude, like in trouble and having nothing. And within 2 days I had a full-time job, like a career job as a software engineer for the first time. So really, really works, you know.
Yeah, I'm loving it so far. That's the one I was doing too. I was playing around with a couple of different ones and I found that one. I was like, I like this.
What was the name of the hypnosis?
Change Your Life. Oh, sorry. What is it? Change Your Life in 7 Days. Change Your Life in 7 Days.
Yeah, by Paul McKenna.
Paul McKenna. Okay.
It's really awesome. What I do for people who are really in their own head and they are not, and they're in their own way, and they're not able to see much manifesting wise at all, like with anything, list method, you know, like the basics. What I'll do is I'll stick them on that. Like, I've done this with clients before, and I'll just stick them on that as like their prescription. Just listen to it. And just like me, like the same thing with me, you know, that if something's going to get through to you, it's going to be that hypnosis. It's just really effective. You know, it's broad in a sense that it's not tailored to like manifesting a specific person, but it absolutely drastically changes your mindset. It, a bunch of cool stuff happens. It unlocks things within you. It's really powerful, really powerful. What do we see here? I'm just looking in the chat real quick. Victoria said, I reconnected with specific person. Do you want to give any info on that, Victoria? If you want to, only if you want to, or if you can.
Hey, y'all, I am so sorry. I don't know if you can hear me. I am ill of the Everglades in Florida, so I've missed y'all so
lucky.
Much. I don't even know what to say. I've been busy beyond in the most beautiful ways, and I detached, and I don't know, not this past Saturday, but Saturday before, I went on to a dating app just like, hey, let's see what happens. And I went about my day, and I go to the game, and I literally sat down in my seat, and I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, how did I literally get 500 messages on Bumble? Like, oh my goodness. And the first thing that popped up is SP, and he asked, how's the book going? And I responded, well, I'm like, but I'm not doing this on here. If it's important, you'll text me. And he did. And then I said, go show up at my house. And he did. And he spent the weekend, and here we are. So, yeah. We left
the conversation.
Now, you've
been here a while. Oh, go ahead. I'm going to ask you a question after, but go ahead.
It's just we've had a lot of conversations, and some I'm not willing to like dive into with him. I just want to enjoy the moment. I get wrapped up in the whole like, oh my goodness, we're back together. We're doing all the. I just kind of want to see what else.
Yeah. Amazing. So the question I have is I think most people here probably have heard a little bit about you at least. I know there's some newer people, but if you can say what you believe has helped you to manifest up to this point, to get you to this point, what would you say or speculate or think that is what caused you to, like, that's definitely a bridge. I mean, no doubt, but what would you say, do you think, is what helped you the most?
Cool. I would say doing the work with Athena. I think to flex my manifestation muscle, doing the listed. And I got to a point, I want to say about a month and a half ago, where from the outcome, and that's really it. And like I said, going on the dating app was just sort of like a, hey, you know, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen, let's just see. And I wasn't even on it for 6 hours, and I promise you I did nothing. I just signed up and I took a nap, and then I went and dressed, and I went to get my friends, and we went to the game and had drinks, and I sat down on my seat, and out of the 550 plus messages, his was the first one, the top one. What are the odds? I was like, oh, there we go. How it's meant to unfold. So
wow.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. That is really awesome. Yeah. I mean, Victoria, you've been definitely committed. Like, you've been around here now for quite a while. And I know that you did a lot of work with Athena. And then you come anytime that you can. I know that you've been busy and all that, but so yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to hear. Like, for me, when I hear something like, oh, I just decided to go on a dating app, you know, like, whatever, man, like, see what happens, you know, and then his stuff pops up on the top out of 550 messages. I mean, you can't even make that up. Even if you did the odds, that would be one in 550 that, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, that he has appeared directly on the top. I mean, so that's really cool. Really inspiring, really helpful. So that's great. Great. Love to hear that. I was talking to Athena before, and a different topic, but about the list method, right? Because you kind of, like you said, like Victoria just said, you like flex your muscle with it. And this I forget her name, and she may even be in here because I know she is here. I think it was Gaia. And right, was it you, Gaia, that manifested like a gazillion things out of a gazillion and 10? I think that's, yes, it was, right? It was like 130 out of 140 things on the list method. And the only 10 things, if now correct me if I'm wrong, but the only 10 things that did not transpire so far have to do with your specific person. Is that correct? I think that's correct. But the reason, and that sounds like a discouraging thing. In fact, this is something that I've heard. Okay. Yeah. So let me talk about that for a minute too, because that is really important. And that is something that the list method is designed to show you on purpose. So in other words, I think most people, when they see that, it's a discouraging thing because they're thinking, why is everything working? But except for things with my specific person, which was an experience, my own experience as well, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when I was messing around with it and trying to manifest a specific person. And it seemed everything that I did, whether it took a day or a week or whatever, it was happening, except the most serious things that I wanted with my specific person. And so in other words, even some things would happen, but now this was before, probably like 7 years ago, right? So this was when I was still testing a lot of the law. So I was still testing, manifesting with, messing with the middle and all of this stuff. I would get like a text message. I would get some things. Now, again, I was in communication though with my specific person, but I wasn't getting what I wanted with that specific person. So, but it turned out to be that all the most important things related to my specific person were not manifesting. And what it turns out to be is it becomes a tool to identify what potential problems are there. So in other words, it's definitely true that it could just be time that needs to unfold in order for a manifestation to come to pass, right? But in most cases, you can use the list method to determine what problems you have, what beliefs you have that are causing issues, what blocks that are there, you know, what patterns are unfolding again and again. And so because of that, you can be, it's obvious, right? Like 100 and something have manifested and the only ones that haven't are specific person related. Well, then that means there's some problem related to the specific person, generally speaking. And so you could therefore then observe reality further and say, well, list method wise, I can't manifest crap having to do with my specific person. So let me look at my reality. Are there other issues with my relationships and stuff? And then that's how you can kind of get, it's like a hint that you're given to put more focus in this direction to figure out what the beliefs are that are preventing these issues from the solution from happening. What issues are there that are causing the problems? And I thought that was important to bring up because I wonder how many people here have also experienced the same thing and are wondering what the heck is happening, you know. Anyone else wonder that?
Yeah, I've wondered that quite a bit. I actually, I had another success with my list method this week. I just wanted to say this first. I spent most of the weekend, I had written down that I got a good deal on a car without negotiating, and I found one and I ended up buying this weekend. So I spent like the whole weekend just driving pretty much. So I'm like exhausted now. So that was like a bigger manifestation I got off of it. I just wanted to say that was a success. It was funny when I cleaned out my old car, there were a couple things I had written down that were actually in my trunk that I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to get this. I had a teddy bear from like probably 10 years ago that I had gotten for one of the kids that I never gave them. That was something I was supposed to have in my hand. But to your question, I actually have run into the inability to manifest anything from SP, but even just like anything that I guess you would say influences other people. And I know that that's not really the right way of looking at it because we're all connected, but I have a block there for some reason where like I can't even get a text from a friend. That can be a challenge for me. So I've noticed that I have patterns around that.
Well, and that's it, you know, that's really it. And that's something that, I mean, I think probably, I mean, I know for myself, that's a thing, right? The way that I find now that is best to handle this, I used to like really hyper focus in on one thing and think like, you know, I'm going to solve this and I'm going to solve it with a specific belief. Like I'm going to target one belief and I'm going to find the exact belief that's going to resolve this issue, the perfect belief, the master belief. But the problem with that is because we don't have an accurate, exact glimpse into our subconscious, we can really get pretty damn close, but like we can't see if there's a list, we can't see that list. So, you know, with that perception of exact, like thinking to ourselves, like, okay, well, you know, let me find all the symptoms and then let me construct a perfect thing. What I do instead now is like the assumption stacking is designed to hit as many really variations as humanly possible on any given, you know, assumption, any given aspect of life. And that generally has the best results over time. Even if it's not the first time I'll do it, sometimes I'll do the assumption stacking multiple times on the same thing. Eventually it's going to take, you know. And even so, dude, even Dan, even if for whatever reason, say you never even cared about assumptions and you had written down that stuff about getting texts from friends and this and that, and you were having problems with it, it's not you're not destined to be cut off from it. Like it's still going to happen, but the assumptions, what they do is they screw things up. They make things go awry, you know? So, I think that's also because sometimes I'll get the question asked to me, like, what if I never figure it out? What if I never find this assumption? You know, what if it eludes me forever? I mean, first of all, you could manifest finding it, but even if that were the case, you'll still get it. It's just a matter of time. So, but nevertheless, assumption stacking, or I don't know what's a better way. That's a video that I have released, but if you haven't seen that video for anyone here, the whole concept is finding varieties or variations of a belief, different angles, different perceptions, different point of view, and writing it down in many different ways. And the whole point is one of those is going to take, one of those is going to hit. And that is, that's when the solution will come. So yeah, common issue. Keep doing the list method. You know, everyone should be doing it religiously. I mean, it depends upon, you know, what your intention is, but I think, for those who haven't tried it, which I think most people have, but I know some of the rebuttals that I've got are, I don't care about little things. I only want my big desire. I've gotten that one a lot. The problem is without the list method or something similar, it becomes increasingly difficult to know where you go wrong. It becomes very difficult to know what is going awry. So when you test the same way as Dan will see no one texting him, and that's one of his list methods, items, or you will see Gaia, the thing with her specific person, you too will also determine the shortcomings of your manifestations, and you'll be able to figure it out. So try the list method. What else, guys? How is everyone? What else is, I'd love to hear a specific example of how you assumption stack. Well, do I have my, let me see. Just look to see. I won't dig through my journals, but I have a journal in front of me. Is this one going to have assumptions in it? So I'll just make something up then, because this was probably going to take too long to figure out and find my assumption stackings. But you say, for example, the example would be, let's stick with Gaia's and we'll say, or no, we'll stick with Dan's. It's a bit simple. It's quite direct and simple because he gave the exact example already. It has to do with getting messages or communicating with friends and stuff like this. So what we would do is, the first step is to identify the problem. Now, in Dan's case, he has evidence to suggest that the problem lies somewhere within communication or friendships or relationships, platonically, romantically, or something to that effect. In this case, he specified platonic friends, right? So his objective in his list method was to have someone message him. And yet, it appears to be as if nothing is happening. So an assumption, as I define it, is the pattern that you can devise or surmise or deduce from reality. So in other words, the general statement that defines reality. And in this case, we're looking at Dan's list, and he, you know, say it was an old friend messages me, right? That's one that I've used before. So, but what's happening is nothing's happening. So, and say he's given a couple different examples of this, like maybe specifically naming someone, maybe multiple varieties of this. So the point is we want to now describe what problem exists. Well, we know a problem exists is that friends aren't messaging me. We'll say it like that, right? Friends aren't messaging me, or friends aren't communicating with me. So these are, again, we're just describing reality in a broad way. Once we describe reality in a broad way, we then need to reverse engineer in a simple way. That just means oppose it and find different variations of it. So if friends aren't messaging him or communicating with him, we have to assume that that is what the assumption is, right? Friends don't message me. Friends aren't communicating with me. I'm not receiving platonic relationships or effort from people. So the way to solve this is we need to oppose it. And you oppose it with assumption stacking by creating as many variations as you possibly can, which, if true, would fix the problem. So in other words, this involves writing the same way as you list method, but you're doing it with assumptions. And you would write something down. Well, you would write many things down, but the example would be, I'm just going to go speak it rapidly, right? So as I'm typing it down so I can keep track of this for my own sake, but like, I always communicate with friends. Friends always communicate with me. I have a lot of friends. Friends always make effort with me. Five. I feel valued by friends. Six. I have a lot of friends. Seven. It is very easy for me to make friends. Eight. Friends always seek me out and put in effort with me. If you notice, there's overlap as well, and that's perfectly fine. But the key really is simplicity and slight variations. And if you notice as well, as I have some differences, like some that involve feeling, like I feel valued by friends. I feel chosen by people. 10, it is easy for me to connect with people. 11, people connect with me easily. 12, and then on and on and on. You're writing down as many variations, right? You're stacking these assumptions. And what will happen is, now, I would not type these. I'm doing it fast because that's just how I do, but I usually write them down. I'm doing this for your sake right now. And the slow and meticulous method of handwriting will be very effective in impressing your subconscious mind. And those will, like, generally speaking, say I have 11 things that I just wrote down. So first of all, many people, they will keep going. They'll go 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, 100. That's in no way essential, but keep in mind, each and every one of these will impress. Many of these are overwriting old negative ones. And also many of these will take a blank spot. So it'll create a new assumption where none ever was. So in other words, this sort of shapes the entire angle of your life. And then bridges begin to unfold that make each and every one of these true. So again, if we really consider what would happen if we only did one, which is how I used to do this. The problem is, like, it's very effective. And if you're really, really exact and you scrutinize every detail of your life, especially in any given aspect, you will figure out what the assumptions are. The problem is that it's not necessary. In other words, for what it took, say it took me hours, sometimes it would take me days, and I swear it would take me weeks and months for some assumptions that I was trying to figure out the perfect assumption for. Well, I was wasting months attempting to figure out the perfect assumption that was going to fix my problem. I could have taken 20 minutes, written 20 of them down, guaranteed one of those would have been the one that just took me months to figure out, but it would have been done in minutes. And that's why it's super powerful. That's why you're hearing about it. Probably you're seeing about it in comments all over the place. People are talking about it everywhere because it is very, very powerful. It is changing people's lives within 3 days, 5 days, the person comes to me and they're like, this thing happened, or this train of thought began to unfold. And eventually it just builds up and then the manifestation unfolds. And that's how it goes, you know? That's how it goes. So that's assumption stacking. That's how it works. What else, guys? What do we got here? Helen, what's up with you?
Hi, Joseph. Hey. I'm listening. I've had a little bit of a tough week behind me. I have actually, I was working a lot and I crashed this week and I was really feeling like sick, like really my whole body was aching and I just had to sleep the whole time and I just felt like, what the heck is going on with me? And I had to work on some assumptions around health. And I realized that was something that I had been already as a child. When I got overwhelmed with things, then my body would react with feeling sick. And it was so extreme that I even started thinking, what if I would die, you know, those kind of thoughts. And I had not experienced that in a very long time. But at the same time, I feel like I am going through something. It's like some transformation, some kind of. And today I'm actually back in my power again. So
it's interesting hearing you, because I've had very similar sort of exhaustion overcoming most of this week. I've been sleeping a lot. I just crashed. So it's interesting. You and me always seem to be on a very similar wavelength, you know?
Yeah. And I was just thinking about the list method and bridges and things. I mean, with the small things, like, for example, Nita, he always tells me, yeah, you always say that you can manifest money. Well, then show me, let me win the lottery, you know? And I say, yeah, but that's not how it works. So, but I had a small success when it came to money, and just to see how the bridge is shaping or how it happens. How can I do this, that everything is in there, but short and bite-sized? Anyway, so it started with last week that Nitai, who needs to get morphine, you know, still he's on morphine. How do you say morphine? Yeah.
Yeah, morphine.
Yeah, yes. Exactly, morphine. So he had to get some, but because he had taken a little bit extra, and if he takes extra, he gets like a kind of a punishment. He gets like a stack for 2 weeks, but if he takes a little bit extra, he has to go every day for a week. That is just some kind of punishment. So yeah. That would have meant that this week that I am off, because he can't drive at the time being. So he asked me if I could kindly drive him. And I was like, fuck this. This is my free week. No, it's like I'm working on not always doing things for others at the time being. So then it happened that my ex from Thailand came back. And he asked me if he could have the car as well. So, okay, this is the pre-story. I had imagined, because I always have 20 francs and coins in front of the car, because it's like some extra if I forgot my purse or something, and there was none. And I had been a little bit short in my bank account lately. I didn't want to take from the savings, so I thought, I would be happy if I had coins in my purse, if I had this 20 francs in front of the car. And if I also had some extra so that we could go for a coffee and a croissant like that. So what happened was that I ended up, no, where do I go on from this? Okay. So Nitai, he went and got his morphine, and somehow we manifested that they didn't notice and gave him the stack like normal for 2 weeks. He didn't go into a punishment because somehow they didn't notice that. And So then I didn't have to drive him there every day. And my ex from Thailand, he got the car. And so to wrap it up all in one go, I ended up going and getting a scratch ticket. And I won 50 francs. That's like euros. So I got enough money to go and have that coffee, to put coins into my purse. And even there was some left over. And because my ex that had borrowed the car wanted to show gratitude and pay for the gas, he put 20 francs in front of the car. So it was just like everything just got together and it was perfectly orchestrated. And that's just so amazing, because exactly, we see on those small things how that works for the bigger things. So I found that very wonderful. And also came to it that my Thailand trauma that I had gone through with this ex that left me for another woman in Thailand, I ended up talking to his wife, and we made peace with each other. And I felt that that healed my trauma in a very nice way. So it felt like that has also come to an end. So there are so many things happening. And a little fun story also for Halloween. I had, just to say, you know, we have to watch our thoughts. So I had heard somebody telling me about a murder show. And this was a woman who had murdered her husband by sticking a scissor into the neck. And I see those things very visual. So then a day later, my son, he called me, asked me if I could cut his hair. And I was like, oh no. I immediately got these pictures of the scissor in my hand. And I was like, oh no, stop. I don't want to have those kind of thoughts in my head. So anyway, of course it's harmless in that way. I wouldn't go in that direction, but just, you know, so it was macabre somehow. So then I started cutting his hair, and I was cutting and cutting and cutting, and he only had a little bit of hair left on his neck. And I was thinking, okay, I'll shave it off. So I started foaming his neck, and I shaved and did and that, and all of a sudden I saw blood dripping out of his neck like I had cut him. But I didn't think about that moment. But later on, when I came home in the evening before I was falling asleep, it dawned upon me, fuck, that I saw blood coming out of his neck. So that was, yeah, like, whoa. Okay. And then I'm so powerful. I'm really so powerful in those moments, but mostly then when I'm not aware about it. And I was thinking, can you imagine how powerful it would be if you would, you know, put your feeling into the favorable things, you know? Mm. So anyway, those were my stories.
My God, that is funny. That is so funny. But I love also the way that you were, it's almost like you were re-upped, you were matched like the exact amount of money and then everything worked out. I mean, I love that. That to me is like my favorite sort of stuff where it's like things that got messed up get unmessed up. And here you go. Here it's all back. There you go. You know.
Yeah.
And I just got to watch if I ever meet you to not let there be scissors around.
But you know.
Everyone watch out.
Yeah, you know, and I had watched something about Helen Hadsell, what she was talking about, Hadsell or what her name is. And she said, you know, that most people, when they go and they get the scratch ticket, they have imagined and then they scratch it and then they say, oh, yeah, OK, I missed again. Typical. But it's about staying in that playful mood that, OK, yeah, it was not this time, but I know what I've seen and stay in that. And so that's what I had done, because I rarely win anything on those damn scratch tickets. But this time it was like I scratched 5 francs, I scratched 5 francs, another 1 francs, another 10 francs, another 15 francs. I was like, what's going on? That was just like magic. Yeah.
That is magic. It's funny that you're saying this, because there's an opposite thing that's been happening to me. It's been really bizarre. I've been going into these, so me and Athena, we go for walks with Coco. Mm-hmm. And like what it will be is, because like Athena will walk into the grocery store and then I stay out with Coco because dogs aren't allowed in. So I just will wait and then we just sit around. So where was I the first time? Oh, first time. This was so bizarre. Okay. Pretend, undo that last part with Coco. This time it's just me. I walk to the store down the road and I walk in and it's something, or maybe it's around 9:30. So the store is going to close at 10. And before I go, I'm thinking to myself, like, these little stores, how do they afford like little security guards? That was just a thought that was just pondered into my mind. Like, it doesn't really make sense to me how you can pay someone full time to make sure no one's stealing. Like, doesn't that cost more than the price of stealing? So anyway, I walk to the store and it's towards the end of the day. And then I see someone walk in behind me and he has a motorcycle helmet on. And he brings like a black wheelie bin to go shopping, and like that you get those in the front to go put your food in. But he walks behind me and I'm in an aisle. He's in an aisle. I turn around just because that was like a part of what I was doing. And now I'm facing him. He drops his cart. He looks up. He grabs this huge box of candy with another box on top that was never opened. Like, it wasn't even marked up yet to put on the shelves. He grabs it and then he just walks out the store. Like, the bin that he put down, he just left it in the middle of the aisle and just walked out the store. Now, I had already purchased I bought lemons and I bought something else, biscuits. So I had to come back into the shop. That's why I was in already with my items. I was looking for pasta. So anyway, there was no pasta that I wanted. So I ended up just leaving the store with the lemons and the biscuits. And I'm right behind this dude with the motorcycle helmet on. And I realized like he didn't pay for anything. He walked out and he's going the same exact way as my house, as our house. So I'm just thinking, like, does he work here? He just took all that shit off the top shelf and he's just booking it. What the hell is this? And I'm walking behind him. And so near our house is a complex, like an apartment complex. And he cuts the corner of the complex. Now he's only 10 feet in front of me, right? So he makes a left and then it takes me 10 feet to catch up to him and he's vanished. So this dude, I knew it. He had just stolen a ton of shit because it was at the end of the day. The security guard wasn't there and the employees were all busy doing stocking and stuff like that. And I just thought, like, dude, that is so messed up. I can't even believe it. So I went back in the shop and I just told the dude, I was like, yo, some dude you can look in the camera. He just came in and stole. And I even pointed, there was a huge vat of items missing off the top of a shelf that were there prior that are no longer there. So anyway, I let him know and I left and it was really disturbing. But the next day, Athena and I and Coco went to the store, the grocery store, the big grocery store, and it was near closing again. And I'm sitting there with Coco on the outside. So there's like a foyer area where, you know, before you go in, there's like the double doors that lead to the outside. And then you're in the store, but not technically in the store yet. You still have to enter in and then grab a basket and then go in, right? So I see this dude. It's just, again, it's just me and Coco. We're just sitting there like a fly on the wall. And some dude comes in. This is the next day, mind you. And he just has like a brown sort of like construction worker's jacket on, like sort of like a heavy duty jacket. But he was a young guy. He was probably like 35. And he walks in. He looks at me, walks in the store, and about 30 seconds later, walks out the store and the alarm sounds, beep, 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 beep. He looks at me and then sprints out the door. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? I'm just like continuously watching these people shoplift. And so then the last icing on the cake is I go home and then I had a session with a client who's been my client for a long time. And I'm about to talk to him. And then he's like, hey, I have to push the call back 15 minutes. I'm like, all right, whatever. So the time comes and he's like, Joseph, someone just robbed my father. I'm like, what? He's like, someone just robbed my father. And I had to go talk to the police because his father only speaks Chinese. So he was in Los Angeles area. And his father had his $10,000 necklace yanked off of his neck and stolen from him and ran away. So here I'm like, at first I'm listening to this and Athena knows this client as well. So I told Athena and I'm like, yo, such and such's father just got robbed. He's 10,000, blah, 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 blah. Told her the whole thing. And she's like, dude, what about the shoplifting too? And then what about yesterday? And then all this stuff, it just seemed, I mean, I don't know what the manifestation is or why the manifestation is, but like first, I mean, I don't even think I have to spell it out to you guys. I think everyone can figure out what I'm trying to say, but it was just so odd to be like a fly on the wall watching some dude shoplift a big, huge, like 100-pack of Snickers. And then the next day, like I think it was alcohol, because that's usually why people go into this store. And then that same night, my friend's father's necklace was snatched off of him, the client of mine. It's so just interesting how stuff like that could happen. And I'm wondering, oh, that's right. We determined, and you know what we think triggered this, is there was this video circulating around from, it was a first-person perspective video of this dude in England, in London, stealing everyone's cell phones, right? It's a huge thing for everyone that lives in England and London and stuff. It's a massive problem here. If you're walking around with your cell phone, you shouldn't be, right? So I was watching it. This dude was on a bike and he ran and it showed the whole clip. It was real. From beginning to end, he stole like 15 cell phones in one like 5-minute thing, just running. And then he steals a bike and then he steals all these phones, and me and Athena are watching it in shock. Our jaws are like on the ground. And then we're both like, what did we just watch? And then it was the next day that all these shoplifting started unfolding, and then the necklace. So it's just interesting, one little view of something and then you just manifest it, which is kind of what you just said. You know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for my client's father. Shit. $10,000.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. But Nita still says, Nita still says, I should, if I'm so good at manifesting, I should manifest the lotto for him. Oh, but I can't do that under pressure.
It's funny. It's kind of like, it's kind of like, that just reminds me of some of these people on TikTok who are like, I can manifest in 3 days. And then we'll be like, okay, manifest the lottery then. Do it. Three days. It never happens ever because they can't fucking do it.
You know, I was just thinking about the other day because you had a collaboration with Veronica Isles once. You know, you remember?
I wish I didn't remember.
Yeah, exactly. It was a pretty stiff thing, the whole thing. But I mean, I just saw what she's posting again, and she literally writes, you can have a phone call and have your SP, you know, not a phone call. You can have just do what I say and your SP will contact you in a minute. And she writes those kind, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, who's even watching that nowadays?
You know what it is? That's so screwed up. But next thing you know, it's going to be like 1 second, and then it's going to be like, do it and get it in a fraction of a second. Like everyone just makes it faster. First, it's 3 days, then it's an hour, then it's a minute, then it's going to be 30 seconds, and then on and on and on. It's like manifest a text yesterday. That's coming next.
Yes. You know? Somebody had written, come on, stop and you know, talk bullshit like that. I tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah. Another interesting topic, completely separate than this, but still interesting. Like, I don't know who here saw the video that I posted on remote viewing. And what happened was a bunch of people had written stuff, and then even some people here were messaging me and then asking me questions about like astral projection. I know Mike had brought it up. And so I never deliberately attempted to do astral projection, and I'd heard of it forever. My brother was talking about it when I was like a young kid, but long story short, I ended up reading this little book. They're like, yeah, I had this book, and then I went on to ChatGPT and I pasted a section of this book. I told a bunch of people on Tuesday about this, but it's really interesting. I essentially did what it says in this book, and all of a sudden, like in the middle of the night, the first try, I have like this electricity pulsating throughout my entire body. It jolted me out of sleep. It was so bizarre. And I wonder, I was too freaked out and sleepy to go to the next part of it, but it was really freaky that I never tried it ever. And this is something that people can do, but yet, like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, I've never tried it before. And then you try it once and then it works. It's just so crazy. I wonder who else has ever done anything like that before. I know Mike has been messing around. I'm curious with, you know, anyone here has ever actually gotten it to fully work, but it's real.
I've actually been doing the gateway tapes lately, but I haven't had any big experiences like leaving my body or anything yet.
What have you been doing? Like, what have you actually been doing specifically?
Actually, today I did a tape that was focused between 12 and 15, where you go to a different location. So I guess it's like opening up remote viewing, and you're on a wave where you start out, they refer to it as getting to know your greater self. And then they tell you to imagine like a point to go to, whether it's to visit someone's house or a place on earth, or even someone deceased, like to see your grandfather or something. And then there wasn't a sense of leaving the body, but I was getting images like in my mind of other places.
Interesting.
Nothing too solid though yet.
Is this is the author, is this Monroe? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's Monroe's the tapes, which have the sound and
So the reason I asked that is because it was actually his book that I read, and then another book, and I threw them into ChatGPT together and then asked them questions. So it was like, I think it was like Journey Out of the Body. And then this other one called, what the hell is it called? Astral Dynamics. And what I did was I threw it in, both of them in together, like you can upload PDFs. I don't know if it's because I'm on the pro version. I have no idea, but you can upload and then ask questions. So I just asked, like, give me the condensed thing of what to do. And it like, I wasn't listening to the tapes or anything. All I did was follow these instructions and it worked instantly. It was like, imagine that you are absorbing energy through the soles of your feet. And then if you keep doing that, like, you'll actually start to feel your legs and feet getting heavy and stuff. You're like messing with your energy body. And then you imagine that. And then I forget what else. Oh, and then if at that point, you should be in an extremely relaxed state. And then you imagine a point in space 6 feet above your in front of your forehead, and then 6 feet perpendicular, which is like behind you, 6 feet. So it's like an L. And it was so crazy. That's all I did. And it was like, if you do this, you'll hear like a hissing, or dude, it was so crazy. I heard the highest pitch, what you even call it, like beep, like boo.
Yeah.
High pitch. And my whole body was literally vibrating. It was like first try, that was exactly what it was. And if I had done that, and then what happens is you can then, once that high pitch happens, you can direct it, because it centers in your head. You can direct it down to your toes and then back up to your head and down to your toes. If you keep doing this back and forth, it'll level out to be like one unit. Instead of a wave bouncing back and forth, it'll be it'll be so fast that it's like a stable thing going back and forth. And then you'll just launch out of your body. So I never got that far because it was weird. I wasn't ready. I half thought it was just bullshit. I swear to God. So, but in doing it, it was not. It was legit. The experiences were real. The feelings were real. The sounds were real. It was the most bizarre thing. But if you're looking, like, that's a shortcut way, because that shit worked, you know, or it would have worked if I had finished the rest of it. So that's what I did.
Well, I'm like a scaredy cat, though. Like, I want the experience, but when anything weird starts to happen, like, I'll get vibrations, I'll get different colors coming in through, like, what feels like my third eye. I freak out. So staying calm is, really? Like, the biggest thing. Yeah, but it's like, I want it, but I don't want it at the same time.
Yeah.
I want it without any fear.
You know, what's funny is, like, I think Mike said that too. I think it was Mike that had said that. It just feels weird. And then you get anxious, and it's happened to me 20 times with other techniques as well that I've done. You get like anxious or freaked out, and it's like, you want it, but you're afraid. You anticipate. Mike, did you say that to me as well? Can't hear you. I don't know if you're speaking, bud. Mike. Can anyone hear Mike, or is it just me that can't?
It looks like he's messing with his sound, maybe.
Right, it's like his mic is not picking it up. Yeah, he was working before. I don't know what happened.
But Joseph, may I just ask you something?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So I listened to a lecture by Neville, the cup of the foam of, oh, what was that again? The cup of wine, the foam of wine or something. Does it ring a bell?
No, tell me a little bit more though, and maybe I'll figure it out.
No, the cup of foaming wine. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of that.
Full audio lecture in the author's own voice. Anyway, I listened to that the other day, and that was really crazy. It was full of mystical experiences. I have to listen to it again because it was like above anything It was hard for me to follow even. So if you're talking about those experiences right now, I just thought maybe you had heard about that.
So tell me one more time the name.
The Cup of Foaming Wine. I hope
Are
I
you
have...
Sure? Are you sure yeah, it's real?
I hope so. It sounded very, very real, but it says in his own voice.
You know what? I built this app, and I'm going to
Maybe I've fallen into a trap.
You might have, but you might not have. So let me just look real fast. Because I may very well have it here and may have never. Cup of experience, no. Wine, the bread and wine, no. Yeah, I don't know. I'll check also.
So do you know this guy? He's putting it like in book form. Neville is talking, but he has made it with a book. Of course, Neville is not reading out of the book, but it's called Wisdom Untold.
Yeah, so I do see the cup of foaming wine 1 year ago, 2 months ago. Yeah, it's hard to say just because as I'm looking at all of these ones, they come from like a year ago. So you don't know if that means it's, you know, it's like non-AI or something. Do you know what I mean? Or if it is AI, but it might not, no, it might not be, honestly.
I don't think it is AI, but anyway, I would be grateful if you would find out because it's amazing what he's talking about. So it would be good to know, is it really him or is it, because nowadays you can't always tell.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it looks real to me. That it looks like it's from 1968. At least that's what's being said. It's just hard to know because whoever posted this just posted it last year. So it could be, though. Very well could
he's
be. I will check it out.
He's posting a lot, like Wisdom Untold, and he has also Feeling is the Secret. And I mean, so I do believe that it is serious. But anyway, if you want mystical experiences, then that lecture is really crazy there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. No, it's interesting. It's weird that I've never heard of it before, but it's definitely possible, you know.
Anyway, you find out and you tell me.
I will.
Thank you. Can you hear me now or am I still
muted? Yep.
Okay, wait. I don't know what happened there. That was odd. I just refreshed it. But anyways, going back to that, the astral projection stuff is like what I was getting was almost like hearing this low rumbling sound, almost like a faraway thunderstorm. And I was like, oh, that's my cue. Yep, something's about to happen. And then, like she said, I got like a little anxious. I was like, oh, no, I'm losing it. And then I had to go to the bathroom. And I woke myself up out of it.
That's it, man. You know, that's like one of the things I think I read as well. But yeah. It can be really anxious. And sometimes what I've experienced was like not with astral projection necessarily, but when I'm in like a super duper sort of mystical thing, it just happened. Like the anxiety just, it doesn't even matter. It's like the fear overtakes and it's like, you just can't fucking do anything about it. You know, I've had that so many times. It's been really aggravating. Absolutely. I've had it years ago where it was happening so often to me and I was getting so anxious that I demanded that they stopped. And for years, I got no other mystical stuff. So I get it. I really, really get it. But now I'm like, give me.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm like, give it all. I'm ready for it. But just try not to wake myself out of it. And they come few and far between. So when it happens, I'm like, I really want to experience it fully.
Yeah, totally. You should do the thing that I was talking about because that shit just worked immediately.
It absolutely am. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, let us, anyone else got anything they want to bring up? Any stories, any questions that they want to ask? Any ideas, concepts?
I have
whatever.
A question.
You know? Yes.
And some comments now that I'm hearing your conversations. I'll start with my comments first and then I'll ask my question if that's okay. So Speaking of the videos, I literally just posted in the group today that I forget which topic it was under, but I watched a video and had a moment of what I would consider. Shit, my AirPod is dying. Hang on.
I can hear you still.
Can you hear me still? Okay, yeah. One of them died. Where I think I experienced a moment of telekinesis after watching this video where my phone fell off of my nightstand at night. It was the craziest thing. So, and then what else? Oh, my out-of-body experience. I had one, only one, several years ago. It's been a while, during Reiki, and it was a very intense vibration. Now, I wasn't scared. I was more intrigued and kind of like a what the hell is happening. So I didn't stop it. But what happened was I did have the very, oh my God, it was the most intense vibration I think I've ever experienced in my life. But then I also had this weird breathless feeling. It's hard to describe if you've never had one awake. It wasn't like in the middle of the night where I was asleep. And then I could see myself laying on the table with the lady working on my head. She was literally holding my head, and that's when it happened. So I wanted to share that because you guys are talking about it. But you actually just made another comment. Something I've been thinking about over the years is I guess became a Christian after that point in time, and then I pretty much, I think, shut down all that stuff, because when you're in that kind of environment, they make it sound like, you know, it's bad, it's demonic, it's this and that. So I've literally said, I don't want any more of this shit. I think probably to my detriment, you know, and hearing the voice and being able to discern certain things. So I would love to be able to spark that back up again. So these are all interesting conversations that you guys are having, things that I've been pondering even just today. But anyway, my question, and I feel like I kind of know the answer to this based on everything that I've explained and learned. But so years ago, I've always been into spiritual stuff and energy and things like that. So I went to a spoon bending class that was local to me. And they had you practice and try it there. Now, I couldn't do it. I could not bend the spoon to save my life, which... This is what my question to you, Joseph, is why do you think that could be? But let me finish the rest of my comment. So when I came home, you know, they let you take a whole bag of spoons. I came home. I was super excited. I showed my youngest daughter or my oldest daughter at the time, and she might have been like 12 or something at this point in time. So it's been a while. And don't you freaking know it, she bent a fucking spoon, excuse my language, not even having ever been to this class, nothing like that. So how is it that this little girl who didn't even go to this class bent a spoon with her mind, and me, I'm like struggling with it. Now, I haven't tried it since, but I'm just curious to hear your take on that.
So I will say this. We have someone else here that is here today who has experienced a spoon bending party as well. And he told me all about it. And his name is Taylor, and Taylor M, as you'll see.
That's so crazy, the synchronicities today.
Dude. And so what he had brought up, some interesting stuff that kind of correlates with my assumptions as well about why that would be. I mean, first of all, here's the thing with manifesting and mystical stuff in the first place is, trying hard is different than this sort of mystical mindset that you might need to get into in order to do something like that. It sort of correlates with like the same thing with telepathy, for example. When I am in a relaxed, receptive state, the telepathic messages and visions will come. The other day I was on the phone with a client and he was talking about whatever he was going on about something. And the moment he said, he's like, yeah, and I ran into, and then he named his girlfriend, the girl, his SP, Daisy. And the moment he said that, and I was kind of just like sitting there because he was kind of going on like a diatribe, like a long, what he does is he likes to plan his sessions. So then he'll kind of really keep going on and on and on and on. So I get in this just chill state and I'm listening. And as soon as he mentions her name, the vision of her just boom, just came right into my imagination, like clear as day, directly from his mind. Whereas we have another person, I don't know if she's here right now. She is, Michelle. And she has been attempting to, and I've sort of been on this receptive end of receiving, and I think it's because of the trying and the forcing and all of this that it doesn't happen as well. But the other portion that's really important is young people tend to bend spoons better. Young people tend to engage in telepathic stuff much easier, quicker, faster, more perfect, partly because that's just the an age and younger where you're really receptive, and other parts because as you get older, your doubts and limitations creep in and will prevent you. The same way as I was able to prevent myself from having mystical experiences for a multiple number of years after demanding that they stop, and the same way that there are many people who I've spoken to who didn't believe in any mystical stuff, and then the moment they think that it might be possible, they happen, right? So your mindset, your beliefs, your assumptions, all of that actually plays a role. But I want to hear if Taylor can speak. I don't know if Taylor is able to speak. Yes, okay. What you have to say about this, Taylor?
Pretty much the same thing. When I was at the spoon bending party, Mr. Hook, who was running it, said that young children between 10 and like 15, unfortunately, especially females, so I think it's sexist, but they do much better. They had one where they had like a quarter to half inch rod of aluminum, which is beyond the capability of most men to bend.
Women are just better, face it.
Yep. And they had one 16-year-old boy who was a child of one of the people that were there walk up, take this thing and bend it like it was plastic, you know, like a plastic straw, and just put this great big bend in it. And it was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yep, that's how my daughter was. And I have a picture of her like that with the spoon.
Wow.
When the spoon bends, it's as if it had turned to Play-Doh. It just bends with almost no effort.
Exactly.
That's but so it sounds trippy. Like you're
saying, yeah, and they can bend it into unique shapes.
Repeat that again.
I said it sounds like basically I had just had too much resistance to having the experience, I guess, from the sounds of it.
Unfortunate, but true. That's generally considered true.
Yeah. Yeah, but what it means is, and what I find, okay, so it'd be a similar concept with remote viewing. It's literally, I'm assuming, the same. I've not been able to translate it into physical yet. Like, I've never been able to bend a spoon or anything like that. But when I am in a state where I am forceful, or I am quote unquote trying, or even there's a level of, if I'm not feeling like I'm forcing it, but the way that my mind is really active, that invariably prevents me from remote viewing, unless I am in such a thrilled state that I am like so knowing that it's going to happen, it seems to override that. But in most cases, I don't feel that super thrill excitement. If I want to remote view, or if I want to do something, I need to be able to like chill to an extent that the resistance is down. And it, for me personally, and again, like I said, I've never done physical with a spoon, but I can only assume there would be similarities, because it seems to be like, for me, telepathy and remote viewing all come from the same, it's the same state of mind. It just switches from one to another, but I have to be in that receptive state. But then also, it's more of a command that I'm giving, and not like I'll give a command and then wait, as opposed to maybe saying bend, 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 bend. Like, that's never going to work. It's really just bend, and then I wait, and then eventually it'll happen. I'm assuming that's the way it works with remote viewing. That's the way it works with telepathy. So I don't know. I mean, I know Taylor, like, he's had the experiences. He saw his thing bend, that spoon bent like freaking out clay, right? That's so crazy. It blows my mind.
Well, may I make a suggestion that might help you with the remote viewing?
Yes.
A different group from Valley of the Sun Publishing, Richard Sutphin, or Dick Sutphin's group back in the 70s, we did something, but in remote viewing, one of the things, we were all in a hotel conference room lying on the ground doing remote viewing. He said, go out in the parking lot and look at a car license plate. Just go pick a car license plate. And then later you can go out and find out if it was there. But something real simple like that, you can do almost anywhere because you generally have cars around you, or go out and see how many trees are in somebody's yard, something like that. And the second thing is what Michelle suggested is basically get a group. Because group synergy, especially a group trying to do the same thing at the same time, works very well. Richard Sitfin did that with, of all people, Richard Bach. And basically in a seminar, sent his partner out to a different place and then had the whole group say, where did she go? You know, she's standing somewhere, where is it? And they started looking at what did she see, you know, different people describing different aspects they picked up, and he put it all together and named exactly where she was standing.
It's so astonishing. It's so amazing. So amazing. There's also two different ways to do remote viewing, at least from my perception. So like I've had it where I'm sitting down and I'm not nearing upon sleep and I'm relaxed and I'm just, you know, trying to fixate or focus on an area, and then it will pop into my mind as a small image and I'll be able to see it. Like what I used to do is go upstairs and then bring tarot cards with me. And then I wouldn't obviously know what was on the cards, and I'd be in pitch black and my eyes were closed, but I would draw a card and hold it in my hand. And then I would wait for the image to appear within my mind. And then it will happen. And it'll be as either a small portion of my consciousness or a big portion of my consciousness. But that is also much different than the way that I taught it on my channel. The way that I taught it, because that way is more systematic. But I think for me, it's less thrilling than the sort of, when I get into the state, it's almost like the state akin to sleep, really. A different level of remote viewing appears where it will be an animated, full-on, vivid perception that forces its way into my consciousness behind my eyelids, as opposed to the small images that might appear to describe for me the images that I'm trying to find. So I was thinking of doing a video on that because I just built an app as well where people can practice with AI. It generates an image, it doesn't show them what it is, and then they close their eyes and remote view, and then they type in what they saw and they draw a picture of it, and then they submit it, and then it compares it to the AI image that was generated, and then they can select. I haven't posted it yet, because I'm still working out some of the bugs. But I thought, how cool would that be if we gathered a team of masterful practicing remote viewers and just trained ourselves up to be the best? I thought that was, for those who are interested in it, that would be really freaking cool. But let's see, guys. We are, we're a bit over the hour. I know I started a few minutes late, but I want to make sure everyone if anyone has a question, let's go ahead and maybe answer some questions before we shut down for the night. Anyone?
Oh, I have a question for you. It's not related to all this crap, really, this stuff. But the other day you mentioned, I don't know if it was on here, one of your videos, that when people try to teach you about state akin to sleep, it's not really about like when you, right before you go to sleep.
Ah,
what is it?
Yeah.
What is it really?
Yeah, man. So the state akin, so what people mistake the state akin to sleep as, and they will think that Neville, because, okay, this is a term that comes from Neville. And what is assumed it means, what it is assumed it means, is that you imagine right before bed. But the state akin to sleep is actually called the hypnagogic state. In other words, that's sort of like this, I think it's just a psychological description of a different state of mind. So in other words, I can only describe it. I don't know any other way to do it. But when you're nearing upon sleep and you are almost falling asleep, if you keep your mind awake gently without like just enough, your body will fall asleep and your mind will stay awake, and then it turns into like a very, very vivid movie theater. So whatever you imagine will actually be presented in front of you. None of this shadowy black stuff. You know what I mean? It's like actual, vivid, real, which you can't get unless you're in that state. So that's the state akin to sleep. Listen, it's not essential to manifest. I barely do that. Yeah, it's not very easy. It's interesting, yeah. And it is very effective, but I don't really go for it because it's not a predictable thing that you can get every time. Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to find out what it was. I knew it had nothing to do with all the other subject matter, but
I didn't mean to call it crap.
Crap is just my generic word for stuff, people. Don't take it personally.
Got you. I don't take it personal. Got you. No, it makes sense. That's actually really
That sounds important. Really difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If you try it, like, even if you command yourself, Barb, when I say command, I mean, if you told yourself, like, I experience the hypnagogic state, or I experience the state akin to sleep, it's also happened to me where that's all I've had to say. And then when I fell asleep, my own self woke me up into the state. So if you ever want to see what it's like, that's another trick. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Thanks, Joey.
You got it, dear.
So, and another thing. Yeah. You shouldn't post YouTube videos like right when our class is going to start, because I was having an anxiety attack. Because I was trying to watch the video and it kept checking to see if time for class yet. So I was watching the video. So, you know, I was anxious because I was trying to do both.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't plan that very well. So you are correct.
That's okay.
And I will take that as a lesson and a punishment that I hurt you. I made you stressful.
So, yeah. Thanks, baby. Love you.
You got it. I love you. Anyone else?
Hey, Joe. Yeah. Yes, hey, Joe. It's Steph. I'm trying to think how to phrase this. Have you ever experienced, or did Neville ever talk about situations that come up as, like, are we ever tested? Like when we are manifesting something, we're on a bridge of incidents, and something comes up in your life that challenges your self-concept. Is that a thing? Like, is part of your bridge of incidents, the reason I say this, I had a couple of very weird coincidences happen, or one specifically that happened last week. And I'm still trying to kind of puzzle out what it means. And so what I've been kind of settling with is, are we tested? You know, because there are several examples in the Bible of very, very specific, you know, Job being one of them, of someone being tested. And did Neville ever talk about that? Did Neville ever use Job as an example? Or are there situations in which something just weird happens to test your self-concept?
Right. So what I would say is, he never talks about that concept as if it's true, because in Job, as it says very clearly, as he says very clearly, that which I have feared most has come upon me. So it's, Neville would say and has said, that it's, you know, a matter of him having manifested himself these things, right? Because he says it himself, that he fixated upon this thing and then it manifested, right? But yeah, so you're kind of, I get what you're saying. I'm trying to put it into the terms of an example, right? Like, what would be, give me one example.
Okay, so what happened last week is, you know, like we talked about this in Mastermind, right? I've kind of been on this weird bridge that, you know, Athena kind of kicked into play on my SP journey, right? And again, for those who don't know, I've been in no contact with my SP for 2 years, except for, you know, I've only reached out to him twice over the past couple of years. One about a year ago, I sent a message saying, hey, seek shelter, there's a tornado coming your way. That message didn't go through. And then most recently, back in July, texted him happy birthday. And so I've had some weird things happen since then. The most recent of which occurred last week when I was moving my iPhone. I told you guys about like how I had after Athena and I had talked, and I'd gone in and I checked the thread, the last conversation I had with him, and it did this weird like flickery thing on my phone. And then I upgraded my iPhone last week and it happened again. But I noticed that the text message that I sent last year that up until this point had shown as not being sent finally got delivered, which was really weird. And then I'm sitting around Wednesday and I get this call from a number that I had not recognized. So I just let it go to voicemail. And about 30 seconds later, I got an email of the transcript of the voicemail. And it freaked me out because it just said, "Leave me alone, Stephanie." And I listened to the message and it sounded like my SP's voice, which freaked me out and sent me on this little roller coaster for a couple of minutes. This weird roller coaster of emotions, right? Like ranging from a weird sort of relief that I could see something in my bridge happening, and then a whole little bit of anger where like, dude, what the fuck? Go sort yourself out. What are you projecting on me? You know, it was like a whole little fun ride. Until I realized that the call had come to my Google Voice number, not my regular number. So when I like sat and logically worked it out, I realized it was probably somebody who'd gotten a call from a spammer who was spoofing my Google Voice number. But it was just a really weird experience. And because I don't believe in coincidences, I had to sit for a couple of days and think about what this was supposed to mean. Why this happened? What is going on here? And what I kind of finally realized was it was a really important test of my self-concept, because specifically, I think it was a test of my ability to simultaneously hold faith and unconditional love for someone while at the same time protecting my own boundaries. And I think I needed to go on that little anger journey for a minute. And what ended up happening is I remembered the person that I was 2 years ago, you know, the person that he was chasing 2 years ago. So I felt like, hey, I think I understand. I think this is a test. I think this whole weird thing has happened to test my ability to hold in the new vessel of my new self-concept, right? But I couldn't remember us ever talking about it in the group, and I could never remember Neville talking about it. But I could remember, you know, the Bible stories, all the Bible stories of people going through adversity, and maybe it has something to do with that, which is what, hence my question.
Yeah, so interesting, very interesting too. I think my mind, you know, from my very outside perspective, hearing that, I'm like, it's interesting. It almost sounds like you were afraid that it was him, and this was right. And this was, and then some I had to sort of, with,
yeah, what yeah. is that assumption that led me to jump to that conclusion? That's what I sat with.
This is how I would take it, right? So obviously there's perception, like your perception is gonna interpret it as being tested and this and that. And I can't say that you wouldn't be tested, because who knows, maybe there are some assumptive benefits, if that's a fucking word, benefits to your assumptions or reality from being tested, right? So like, for example, being tested on something might instill something deeper within you. And when we say, like, for example, you, especially if you're doing something like assumption stacking, which is not designed to get you into the state when you write it down, it's meant to manifest a small experience that puts you into the state, right? So it's like, instead of imagining a scene where you are fully embodying the persona of the person you want to be, that would swap you into that state. That would impress your mind right at that moment of the desired state. That would be immediate. But when you assumption stack, you're not feeling anything. So it's going to manifest a replication of the statement. And so that means something has to happen to get you to say the statement that you just wrote down. And that is what causes the impression. So there's no saying that that wouldn't be a quote unquote test. But I think what we know for a fact, at least, is what did happen, right? Objectively, what did happen is you got this call, you got this voicemail of this message that put you into a state, and you were left questioning and battling with your mind to figure out what the hell, and you know, then you figured it out, right? What I can tell you is there have been multiple occasions where I have had events happen that don't appear to be what they actually are, and they put me into a state. And what's interesting is it's not that, like, for example, what I would say is what happened is likely your fear itself manifesting, meaning not the outcome fear, but the feeling of fear has manifested. So I think what was a common thing, when people worry, oh my God, am I going to manifest this horrific outcome if I keep being afraid of this horrific outcome? What's more likely to happen is you will manifest being afraid again. You will manifest being afraid, not the fulfillment of the fear, but you will get stricken with an event that will cause the fear. So that I know as something that I've seen a gazillion times. So yeah, and I think the rest is like you've interpreted it similarly to how I would interpret it. And you could probably obviously dig into it more than I could. But I think, you know, from what I've seen and what I experience is I do believe there have been cases where there is a testing, but the testing would be more of to reinstill a deeper assumption, whereas maybe before that, the assumption that was within you isn't strong enough and the subject to change, so you need that. That would be a valid reason that I definitely wouldn't deny sounds logical on a bridge to get you to be more of the person you want to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it had that effect. It caused me to examine maybe an assumption that I didn't realize was there, namely, that I somehow bother people, or that I'm not, you know, that I'm not entitled to, that I bother people. I mean, because what was horrifying to me is the prospect that anybody, least of all my SP, would believe that I am the type of person that would cross any sort of boundaries. It's just not who I am, which is why I got so mad. And I needed to experience that anger for a little bit, because I hadn't really, during this whole like little journey, I haven't wrestled with anger very much. And oddly enough, being able to transmute that anger led me to be able to instill a deeper assumption about who I am. And so that sounds like what you just said resonates, because yeah, there was this little bridge, went on this little journey that resulted in me finding that version, that original version of myself, but now improved. Mm-hmm. 'Cause now I know. Yeah. So, and I also just want to take a moment to point out that there was a jewel heist this morning at the Louvre, Joe. So,
no way.
Yes, there are a bunch of crown jewels, like from the Napoleonic era, were stolen from the Louvre this morning.
Holy shit.
Whoa, no, don't man. Go look at that.
I so, will now.
Why are you manifesting like some kind of Ocean's 11 shit, my friend?
Oh my God. You know how shocked Athena is going to be when I tell her that as well? Oh my God, dude. I don't know. I'm sorry. Was it me? Oh my God.
Well, you wanted to practice remote viewing. Now would be a good time to start.
Exactly. You can solve a caper. You go find those Josephine, the Napoleon and Josephine. There was like, I think, a crown and a bunch of like.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the universe is kind of making it obvious here for you.
Go find the thieves, Joe.
I feel really pressured to do it now, but I will. You got it. Done. And on that note, I think that's a good wrap up. Okay. Heist at the Louvre, shoplifting's all over the place. Remote viewings, astral projections, and God, whatever. SPs being manifested all over the goddamn place. Yeah, I want to thank everyone that came here today. We're going to stop it here for now. I'll see you guys next week, but appreciate it. Thought it was a good chat. Really had a good time. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. Thanks for asking questions. Thanks for chatting, for keeping this interesting. Appreciate you guys. And I will catch you guys. So make sure you watch my YouTube video. Oh, I'm supposed to. Guys, I will be giving you. I have finished the app for you guys, so stay tuned. I will obviously send you guys a message, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, or something like that. You guys can sign up and mess around with it, and yeah, let me know what you guys think and all that. And appreciate you guys. I will catch you guys next time. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys Tuesday.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Bye.
Thank you.